Blog Talk Radio.
Almost time, guys. We're counting down the seconds. Hang tight. Oh, it's getting close now. Because it's time for another episode of the Strike Zone Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Let me cue up a little something special from our last time.
We
had a show. A man named Rusty.
Starting lineups. Somebody else is calling in. I am going to throw them on. We'll see if they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game as well. Hello, is the caller there?
I had a friend who was a big baseball player back in high school. He could throw that speed ball by you and make you look like a fool, boy. Saw him the other night at this roadside bar. I was walking in and he was walking out. We went back down, sat inside, sat down, had a few drinks, but all he kept talking about was glory days.
Well, son of a gun, dude. I don't need your buddy to make me look like a fool, though. I can do that really good on my own. You're the man, Rusty.
Let me in, coach.
Are you still from Kansas City?
Let me in, coach. Oh, yeah,
well,
go
you're in right now, man. You're live on the show. You are absolutely in. That is awesome.
Well, can I just say, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today.
I like it, dude.
Put me
look
in, coach.
Come on, look at me.
I'm ready to play. Center field.
Yeah, there you go, dude. I like it.
Do you think
Wild Thing too?
Well, that didn't have anything to do with baseball, though.
Well, it's from the movie Major League.
Well, yeah, but the lyrics aren't
about
baseball.
Is that your standard is you'll only sing the song if it's truly about baseball?
Well, during baseball season, yeah. You know,
what
come
do you do
football,
football
time, I might.
Do you like fighting songs?
I don't know. Do you know any football songs?
Oh.
I sing the theme from the movie Wildcats then.
I was just thinking the same thing, man. There's this awful rap song from Wildcats with Goldie Hawn.
I remember that. The Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah, there. Now you're getting closer.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to call back in a few months with the Super Bowl Shuffle.
You got it, dude. We'll take care and say hi to your friend. Tip one back for me, man.
Go Royals!
There you go. That is Rusty, our super fan. Fat Tuesday is back. Jack is coming to you live from the shores of Lake Michigan in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Fat Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents the Strike Zone Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, the Commissioner of Strike Zone, and the aforementioned Fat Guy with a Phone himself, Rick Goreski. I've got a nice little show lined up for you today. Going to talk a little bit about the Home Depot, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm not sure if we'll have time. Love old school. You're my boy, Blue. I love it. Seriously, we're going to talk a little fantasy baseball, starting off the show there with the highlight of the last time we did an episode, which was out of an hour, the highlight was 2 minutes of Rusty from Kansas City, our super fan, calling up to weigh in and sing center field, sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He did that. I think we'll maybe end the show with that. He had a nice long little weird encounter last time. Let's just leave it at that. But we're here to talk some Strike Zone Fantasy Baseball and take some calls if anybody calls in. Right now, let's get to it. It's week 11. And that means we're entering the halfway point of our season, our regular season. And I'm going to pull up the league standings real quick here while we do the show. And once again, unfortunately, Blinkist team's on top. He's on top of the mountain at 7-3. He's somewhere smiling right now. He doesn't even know why. He's 7-3 in the American Conference, the American Division, American League Division. We've redone our website to Yahoo, redone our division names and league name. On the National League side, Jose Canseco, fresh off getting injected in the men's room from Mark McGuire. Jose Canseco holding down the top spot in the National League at 6-4. As for the playoffs, right now, you've got the two division winners would automatically get the top two seeds. That would be Dan would get the number one seed. Jose would get the number two seed. They would get first round byes, and then four other teams would make the playoffs based on best record, best winning percentage, and then the tiebreaker is total points for the season. That means that at 6-4, Dream Team, Manchester United, and Spani's squad would all be in the playoffs if it ended today. So how about that, Spahn? Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. I think a couple of years in the basement in the Wilder Bowl, and now he's back. The dude's like he's like the ultimate hit or miss team, the ultimate hit or miss owner. He's like, go big or go home. He either wins the league, or he goes down to the toilet bowl and ends up losing the Wilder Bowl. So there you go, Spahn. That's your shout out, man. Keep it going. Glad to see you having some success. And actually making a handful of moves this year, too. Oh, you bastard, you still only made one move. What the hell? He does this every year where he somehow gets by with it. All of us are making like 10, 15, 20 transactions. He's sitting there with one. Boy, you must have had a lot of injuries or something, man. You usually don't make your transaction till August, you know? But back on track here, it would be Dream Team, Manchester United, and Spahn Squad would all make the playoffs. The sixth and final team would be one of multiple 5-5 teams. As it stands today, there are three teams that are 5-5. You've got Ottinger 1.0's Dingleberries. Ottinger's Dingleberries. I call him Ottinger 1.0 and his brother 2.0. So the Ottinger brothers. Andy has got the Dingleberries. One hell of a team this year. They would win the tiebreaker via total points over Simrad. Jason's very nice team. I'm going to rip on you again, Jason. Get that. You know where the team button is to edit your name? Man, you did it last year, and it was pretty cool. Otherwise, I'm going to put you back to Simrad Warrior, because that was at least kind of cool. Carter, yeah, Jeff, you need to change your name, too. What the hell's up with that, man? You usually get something pretty clever up there. Carter's team and Simrad would lose out on the tiebreaker via total points to Ottinger 1.0 for the final point. Final spot of the playoffs. Remember, nobody's out of it, of course. And let me click a button here. Nobody's out of it. I mean, two teams sit one game back at 4-6. Two other teams are 3-7. They're only two games out of the playoffs. So, and remember, we changed our rules this year so that when it comes to the way that we dole out regular season money, the six teams that qualify for the playoffs get to battle for the playoff purse, but regular season money is going to be divided out based on total points for the season. So from that aspect, you know, it's play to get paid. It's not pay to play. It's play to get paid. So regular season right now, if we project forward as far as what guys would win, we had a system that was approved in the offseason. Blinka right now has got the most points out of everybody, and he would have $135, plus Blinka would get half of all the transaction fees. And I'm pretty sure Ottinger 2.0 is doing his part. Whoa! Dream Team's tops at 25. I was teasing you, TJ. Dream Team, Matt Blankenberg, good guy. 25 moves, and Jose Canseco, another friend of mine, 21 moves. Holy cow. 19 for Dan's dope-ass team. And he would get, Dan, of course, $135 and half of all transaction fees. Dingle, Ottinger 2.0, would actually get second. Because remember, this your division winners get the top two seeds in the playoffs. That's not how the regular season money gets doled out. So Andy Ottinger's Dingleberries would get $120 because they're currently second highest in total points for the season. Jose Canseco, $105. Dream Team would have $85. Manchester United would get $75. Spahn would get $60. And Braun would get 50. That's Adam Karas. I'm shortening the names. You know, I think you guys can keep up with me. If not, get somebody to help you. Wild, that's my team, would get 35 big ones. That might even pay for most of my transaction fees by the end of the season. That's great. Simrod Warrior, Jason's nice team, would get 25 bucks. Onninger 2.0, no longer a rookie, still being called rookie. He is just a handful of points behind Simrod, and then Carter and Murphy pull up the bottom of the bowl. Onninger 2.0, Carter and Murphy, those guys wouldn't get anything as it stands right now. 10th, 11th, and 12th place don't get anything. Worse, the 11th. In fact, there's the whole new Wilder Bowl tournament that's going to happen. So they would be in serious jeopardy. They're going to have bye weeks if they finish at the bottom in record. The playoffs are set by record, so the consolation tournament, the Wilder Bowl, the backwards Wilder Bowl tournament, as we call it, that's going to take place, but that'll be based on record. The seedings will be based on record, not total points. Money is based on total points. But a lot of guys within reach of the person in front of them, and a lot of season left to play, so don't mail it in, boys. Points are currency for the next 12 weeks. That's the way to look at it. What should we talk about next here? I'm just, you know, I'm holding on because of the just stampede of callers. They're all calling in at the same time, I assume, and that's why the lines are dead. The phone company's probably having a lot of issues right now. I should probably see if my phone's working. But clearly the flocks of our fans, hopefully Rusty in Kansas City can get back on the show for this incredible podcast, Fat Guy with a Phone Presents Strike Zone Fantasy Baseball. I know for my own team, I got to be honest, I've been really disappointed. I was hoping some guys would come on and share some thoughts, but I've been really disappointed, and I'm sure it's been a tough go of it for some of the teams. Murphy's had some really, really horrible frickin' luck. God, is that just really horrible luck. Braun, Adam's team, has endured some bad breaks, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. In fact, one of the things that I did to prep for the show was I created a spreadsheet, and I shared that with everybody in the league. The new website, for whatever reason, doesn't have a lot of basic ability to just sort and see who's got the most total points, who's had the most points scored against them, you know, that kind of stuff, without having to either add it up yourself or go through and click through 9-10 weeks worth of crap to try to manually look through 12 different teams and figure this out. So I put it all in one place for everybody in hopes that, you know, it at the very least be an interesting read as you're looking over the league and trying to figure out where you fit in, how you're doing this far this season. And I broke that spreadsheet down into two parts. One is points for, so I'm tracking all the points that each of you scored, each team scored by week, and getting a total amount of points for the year. I think we can all agree that if you score 300 points, that's a really good week. So I charted out how many 300 point games you had or each individual owner had. I also set up a column that tracks if you finished in the top three high scores for that week, as well as the highest score for each week. And then I also tracked sub 200 point games, because I think, again, much like the 300 point game is kind of like the, oh, great, you know, you're doing great, the game where you have less than 200 points, that's a really crappy week. And that would indicate that your team is really not firing on many, if any, cylinders. So tracked all that and wanted to cover a few things. For instance, let's see here. Points per game is something also that's on here. And I thought it would be good to draw the correlation between the high and the low points per game. Dan's team is scoring right now 268.67 points a game. So count them in at 269 if you just round up. 269 points a game, that's tops in the league. The next highest guy, Onninger 1.0, he's got 260 points, followed by Jose Canseco at 259. Then it drops down to Dream Team at 246.5. So my point in telling you those those numbers that I just shared is that Glinka's 269. That's a pretty crisp pace. Andy Oniger's right on top of him. The Dingleberries are 9 points away, which is really good. And Jose's not that far away, but, I mean, you already go down to the fourth team. The fourth team is already 22 points behind. That's per game average after 10 games. That's quite a spread between the top two, three teams and the fourth, fifth team. When you get down to the bottom, this is where you feel for Murphy, because I'm sure he didn't, he's always been competitive, and this has just got to suck. He's at 221 points a game right now. He's the fewest points scored in the entire league, 221 points a game. You got Dan at the top at 269. You got Murphy at the bottom, 221. And it's a 48-point difference between that's per game. So even if you pick, let's say, the sixth team, which is Brian Spahn. Spahn's scoring 240.90 technically, 241 points a game. That's still 20 points a game ahead of Murphy. Murphy's really hurting. Carter's not that far ahead of Murphy points per game. He's at 226.35, but the difference with Jeff is Jeff's 5-5. Murphy's 3-7. So if Jeff's had a lot more good fortune than Murphy has. Jeff has been able to manage some of the down weeks and catch some breaks to be able to be 5-5. No longer a rookie. He's at 231.75. Those are the bottom three teams. And I'll even, the fourth team, Jason Semrod's, Jason's nice team, 233.13. So you've got the lowest scoring team in the league at 221. Jeff Carter at 226. Then you've got rookie at 232, Jason at 233, my own team at 236. So that's kind of bringing up the rear. It pales in comparison to the top teams again at 269. One of the other things I did is I tracked high scores. So every week who had the high score, we used to pay out on high scores. So I thought it would be kind of interesting to see at the end of the year, if we had left the payouts the same way, who would have benefited. Right now, believe it or not, Manchester United has had 3 weekly high scores this year, 3 weeks out of 10, 30% of the time. Manchester is the team that has taken home the single week's most points scored. The odd thing is that Manchester is actually 5th on the season in points, total points for the season. And he's only 2 points ahead of Brian Spahn, and he's only like 17 points ahead of Adam. He's really, it's amazing that he's, it's kind of like I was kind of making fun of Spahn before. It's go big or go home with Manchester, because he just blows up. He's got the most 300-point game. Excuse me. He's got the most high scores in any given week, but he also has the most sub-200-point games, which is a category I'll visit in just a moment or two. But beyond Manchester's 3 weekly high scores, there are 7 other teams that got 1 high score each. So top three, that's another thing that I looked at. I thought it'd be kind of interesting to track not just the high score each week, but who's in the top 3 high scores. And this is where Andy Oninger's Dingleberries are tops 5 times. Oninger 1.0, 5 times the Dingleberries have finished in the top 3 in the week that they were playing. So half the time you can count on the Dingleberries to be one of the absolute toughest opponents in any given week. Dream Team Dan and Jose Canseco. Dream Team Dan's, what is it, Dan's kick-ass team? Can I look this? Dope-ass team. Dan's dope-ass team and Dream Team and Jose Canseco each have been in the top 3 4 times. And then it starts to mellow out. My team, Wild, and Manchester have done it 3 times. Jason, Simrod, and Brian Spahn have done it twice. Rookie once. Jeff was in the top 3 once. And Murphy has not had a top 3 finish yet this season. So, again, real, real nightmare season for Murphy. And 300-point games, I think that's another thing to chart to see how strong a team is. Dan has had 4 300-point games thus far this season. Manchester United, 3 times this season has hit the 300-point mark. Each time he was the high score for the week, too. Jason Semrod, Jose Canseco and Dingleberries have hit 300 points twice. And then four teams, Wild, no longer a rookie, Dream Team, and Spawn have hit 300 points once. This is the, while 300 points is impressive, the sub-200 point games, when you're only scoring like 100 and something, that's kind of a rough week, you know, unless everybody else is down two. And sub-200 point games, as I mentioned, Manchester United leads the way with four sub-200 point games, along with Jason Semrod. Semrod has had four sub-200 point games. Wild Pitch, as my team, has had three times, and Jeff Carter, three times each of us that we have not scored 200 points or more. Rookie, Murphy, and Dream Team have done it twice. And then you've got Jose, Dingle, Dan's dope-ass team, Brian Spahn, and Braun. All of those guys have been incredibly consistent only one time. Jose Canseco, Dingleberries, Dan's dope-ass team, Spahny, and Testoster Braun. Those five teams have only had one out of 10 weeks where they did not hit 200 points or more. So that's, you know, kudos to them. That's good stuff there. Again, the total points scored, Dan is at the top, followed by Dingleberries and Jose. Murphy is at the bottom, second worst Jeff, third worst, no longer a rookie. And that is the points for side of the spreadsheet. I do have points against, which kind of will show you who's had the toughest schedule, who's had to fight, you know, the toughest amount of weekly opponents in the league. And that spreadsheet broken down much the same as the points for side. I'll run through a little bit of this for you. The toughest schedule in the league thus far belongs to Testoster Braun. Adam Karras' team has run into some real tough acts. He's facing an average of 257.88 points a game. 258 if you just round it up. Every time Braun takes, you know, I was going to say takes the mound, but takes the fantasy slate against no matter who he's playing, he's having to face on average 257.88 points a game. That's rough. Believe it or not, Murphy, who has scored the fewest, has got the second worst. So, I mean, man, talk about horrible luck and just compounding things going from bad to worse. He's facing a schedule that has him, on average, any given week, facing 251.15 points. So he's got 251 points a week. Meanwhile, he's scoring 221. Do the math. You can see why he's 3-7. Jason Semrod's team is facing a tough schedule as well at 250.65. And Dingleberries, despite, you know, it's a good thing he scored as many points, second most points in the league, because he's facing a tough schedule. Andy Ottinger is facing 249.22 points a game. So nobody's handing anything to Dingleberries. Might as well finish off the top five. My team is facing 244.65, and right behind me, Jose Canseco, 244.43 points per game. It does bunch up right through here, and you've got multiple teams that are around that 240 mark, give or take, you know, 10 points. Again, at the top, Bronny's facing the toughest. Testoster Braun, that's Adam Karras' team, facing the toughest schedule at 258 points a game, followed by Murphy at 251 and Jason Semrad at 250. At the bottom, the easiest schedules in the league. You might want to hear this. Jeff Carter, easiest schedule in the league right now, facing 223 points a game on average. And when you contrast that to Braun, who's at 258 points a game on average, you're talking about a 35-point difference per week, per game. So every week, Adam Karras has had to face 35 points more from his opponent than Jeff has. And that's why Braun's, last I looked, I think he's still under 500. He is 3-7. Yeah, he's started out really rough. And you do have to give credit to Carter because he started off really rough too, but he came roaring back and now he's 500. He's put together some good weeks here recently and pulled out some tough wins. But we're talking strength of schedule right now. And for that respect, Jeff has done easiest schedule in the league right now, 223 points a week. Next easiest schedule is Dream Team. Dream Team, 230.5 points per week is what they've been facing on average. And believe it or not, surprise, Dan's dope-ass team only facing 234 points a game. That's the third easiest schedule in the league. Now, you can't really take anything away from him because the guy is also scoring the most points in the league. So chances are it wouldn't really matter. You know, he can face a tougher schedule, but it's a lot easier to, you know, you have a little bit of a down week if your opponent's also having a down week. It's a lot easier to secure the win, right? Manchester United has got the fourth easiest schedule at 235.03 and rounding out the bottom five, Brian Spahn, 237.6. That's roughly 238 points for you smart kids out there. Round up. Brian Spahn, 238 points a game. Interesting enough, Spahn with the fifth easiest schedule is still 15 points a game off of Carter. So the fifth worst team is still 15 points a game tougher than Carter. Carter at that 223, that's not going to stay that way all season long. I mean, there's just no way that you can get through an entire season and just have that few amount of points scored against you. Same thing for Dream Team, and I'm sure Dan's going to have some tough goes of it, but that's where we stack right now. The toughest schedule in the league, 258 points a game by Braun. The easiest schedule in the league, Jeff Carter, 223 points a game. One of the things I looked at is how many times did each owner get to face the lowest. Got to click a button here and make sure we don't have any callers because I'm sure they're coming any minute now. Any minute now, there's going to be callers. Might have to call myself and use a funny voice. Lowest scores faced. Manchester United has had his opponent had the lowest score of the week. I tracked this. I tracked the lowest score for each week, just like we tracked the high score. I tracked the lowest score each week, and then I tracked the three lowest scores so that we could get an idea of, you know, well, looking at this, as I call it, the strength of schedule, looking at how tough were your opponents, we can really get a taste of, I mean, hell, if you faced the lowest scoring team in the league, all you had to do was outscore one other team to get the win. So I'm not mocking Manchester or Dream or Jeff. Each of them got two wins. I mean, I wish I was facing the lowest scoring team in the league every week instead of being the lowest scoring team in the league. But point taken that you only have to beat one team to get the victory, and that's Manchester has done it twice. Dream has done it twice this year, and Jeff Carter has done it twice. Two of their wins came against the lowest scoring team in the league for that particular week. Murphy got one of his three wins by facing the lowest scoring team, and then Dan's dope-ass team, Spahn-y and Testosterone. You know, Adam, can't you rip on a current player? I mean, the whole Braun thing is so played. Dan, Brian, and Braun and Murphy each got the luxury of facing the lowest scoring team in the league one time. So that's who's as far as looking at the schedule from that aspect. Here's another thing to look at. How many times did you face the team that was in the three lowest scoring teams in any given week? And from that aspect, you had Jeff Carter, Brian Spahn. Both of those guys have had five times this season. Half the time they've taken the fantasy field, they have faced a team that was going to score in the three lowest scores for the week, meaning in order to get a win, all they had to do was outscore three other teams in the entire slate for that week. Murphy, Manchester United, Dream Team, and Dan's dope-ass team, those guys each have faced three lowest score three times this year. You can see the correlation in record. Jeff's 5-5, I believe. I'm going to pop over there and peek at this quick. Jeff's 5-5. Brian Spahn's 6-4. Manchester United is 6-4. Dream Team is 6-4. Dan is 7-3. I mean, it's Dan's scoring the most points in the league, but it's easy to see why the records are what they are when you look at the the strength of schedule. And it actually becomes even more amazing that teams like Jose Canseco and Dingleberries have the record that they have. Jose and Dingle, Jose Canseco is 6-4, Dingleberries 5-5. Only one time this season have those guys had the opportunity to face a team that scored amongst the three lowest teams that given week. So one time out of 10. That means every single time they played, they had to bring it. And both of them have been bringing it, you know, as far as points scored, and they have really, really good rosters. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. To round out the category I was talking about, though, rookie, no longer a rookie, and Jason Semrad have faced the three lowest teams twice, and Wild Pitch and Brawny, Testoster Braun, we, Adam and I, have had one luxury of facing a bottom three team out of 10 games. Again, Jose and Dingle also one time. Another thing you look at is how many times did you get to face a sub-200-point team? Because, again, a 300-point week, man, that's tough. If you're facing a guy that puts up 300 points against you, that's, damn it. If you're facing a guy that doesn't even put up 200 points, you ought to win that week. So sub-200-point games. Jeff Carter had five times he's faced opponents that have scored less than 200 points. Spani has also had five times where he has faced teams that did not make 200 points or more. Manchester United and Dream Team, both of those guys, three times each have faced opponents that didn't reach the 200-point mark. Murphy twice has faced opponents that didn't meet the 200-point mark. Dingleberry and Dan's Dope-Ass Team, both of those guys also two times had the luxury of facing a sub-200-point team. Wild, that's my team. Why do you call it Wild? That's my football team's name. My team name in this is, no, it is Wild Pitch. My football team is crazy. So forget that. Wild Pitch, no longer a rookie, Jason Semrad and Brawny. Each of those teams have scored one or had one opportunity to face a team that did not even score 200 points in a season. And this is the shocker. Jose Canseco, my friend Tim Lagerman, not one time did Tim get a chance to face. Think of that. Out of 10 weeks, he hasn't had one gimme. He hasn't had one time where he was able to take the fantasy field and face a team that just didn't even put up 200 points. Man, that's tough. You know, that's why he's got the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's sixth in points scored against. But I stress that he's right off, you know, being fourth. He's 2 points away from being fifth, and he's, what is that, like 40-something points off of being fourth. So he's obviously had a consistent amount of points thrown at him every single week. Last category I'm going to cover is 300-point games faced, because, again, while facing teams that cannot put up 200 points means you got an easy go of it, if you're facing teams that are putting 300 points up, you're screwed. I mean, just on average, the house always wins. If you have to keep facing teams that have 300 points, you're going to have a tough go of it. And that's where we're at. Leading the pack, Murphy has three times faced a team that put 300 points up against him, and he's 3-7. Oddly enough, Braun, also 3-7, has faced, excuse me, Murphy's 4-6. Why do I keep saying he's 3-7? Murphy's 4-6. You should be 3-7, damn it, Murphy. In fact, I'm going to see if there's anything I can do as commissioner. I'm going to go in there and knock a win out of there. Maybe I can add some points to somebody's total. You won't even know. I mean, I guess you will know. If you don't have a lot of wins and I take one away, you'll probably be like, hey, what the hell? So I'm just teasing you a bit. You are 4-6. Murphy is 4-6. Three times he's faced a team that put 300 points up against him. So, I mean, there's half his losses right there, you would assume. Dingleberries and Braun, oddly enough, are the other two teams. Braun is 3-7, and, you know, there you go. Three of those losses potentially are the games where he faced somebody that blew up with 300 points. Crazy enough, Dingleberries has faced three times an opponent that has put 300 points up. That might help explain why he's 5-5, only 5-5 despite scoring the second most points in the league. Manchester United twice and Brian Spahn twice have put up our face teams that put 300-point games up. I'm looking actually, what's Brian? Is it just Brian's team? That's pathetic. Are you serious? You can't come up with it. What the hell is with the nut? What, can nobody get creative here? Man, I'm going to start handing out some names. I'm going to start altering people's, giving you guys like really crappy names. In fact, I'd like people to call up and give me ideas to change some of these. We're going to start penalizing people for bad names. So call up with ideas. Email me with ideas. I think we're going to start changing people's team names. They might not even know. Actually, people have been much more active on the new site, believe it or not. The new site offers less. Of course, it's free versus paid. I'm personally not a fan of what I'm seeing right now, but it's getting the job done. But amazingly, you know, I don't see a lot of dead lineups. We had a couple of instances early on in the year where guys weren't doing, you know, setting their lineup or had guys on the DL in there. And again, the website, that's another thing. The website doesn't let you make same-day moves with respect to, like, if it's Monday and you find out that your first baseman got put on the DL, the website doesn't let you go in and pick up a player to replace him, and I actually hate that. And there's no commissioner override either. I looked into it to see if there's anything that I could do for anybody to, you know, do. Is that even an option that the league could accept that, okay, if a guy wants to make a Monday move, they just go through the commissioner and first come, first serve, can't even do it. You know, it's completely locked down by the system. You have to have your moves in by Sunday night. So that really stinks, and I think everybody's name stinks too. I don't even know where I was going with that. Things got personal. I don't know what to say. But back to the spreadsheet, 300 point games faced. Manchester and Brian each have faced 300 points twice. And then we have, what, two, three, four, five teams have had one time this year that they've had to face a team that put 300 points up. That's no longer a rookie. Jose Canseco, Jason Simrod, Dream Team, and Dan's dope-ass team. Those guys have all faced 300 points once. Wild Pitch, and that's my team, and Jeff Carter. Not one time. Haven't had to face a 300-point team yet this year. In my defense, the guy I faced last week alone had 295, got a 288 in there as well, so it's not like I got a cakewalk. But, in fact, one of my fifth most points in the league at this point. But to the point of when you look at this, I have not had a 300-point blow-up that I had to deal with. So that tells you a little bit about the schedules and the correlation. Again, I think it's pretty easy to see when you're looking at the overall league record why, you know, a lot of teams, you're looking at teams that are scoring a ton of points and they're maybe only 5-5 or 6-4, and you just take a visit over to that points against page and you'll see why. You know, you'll see Dingle facing a really, really tough schedule and Jose Canseco. So you'll also see some of the teams that have really good records that didn't have to face that tough of a – I mean, Jeff, what is he, second lowest points for, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah, second lowest points for. He's scoring 226 points a game. Jeff is only facing 223 points a game on average. So that explains why he's 500. He's five times faced somebody who's sub 200. These are the breaks that you look for. Sponny's the same way. Sponny, five times. Five times he's taken the fantasy field and not even had all he had to do was put up 200 points to win that week. And you talk about facing off five times, Sponny has faced a team that scored the three lowest points for the week. Manchester and Dream and Jeff, two times. All they had to do was beat the lowest team for that entire slate of games for the entire league for that week. They faced the low-scoring team twice. So that tells you on the points against side where things are at. And again, on the points scored side, a lot of impressive things to point at. I'm just looking at my notes here to see what else I was going to talk about. Hey, man, the music wasn't even planned. That's not even in my notes. It's just coming so natural to me. Is the caller there? Do we have callers? Man, I miss Rusty in Kansas City. Rusty had it going on. I'm looking right now. Let's talk a little bit about the generically teams across the league. I think for my own opinion, I think Dan Dingleberries and Jose Canseco are the real deal. I think those three teams, shifting gears here to just talk generically about the league, and my own takeaways after 10 games, Dan's dope-ass team, Ottinger 2.0, Jose Canseco, those guys are the real deal, and I think they're playoff bound. There's going to have to be some major injuries to tear those guys down, and I think it's those three teams and everybody else right now in the league is just fighting to get into that upper tier, that echelon that they're at. Dingleberries, they're a team that I think nobody wants to face right now. As I mentioned before, 5 times in 10 frames, he's finished in the top 3 scorers for the week. Ottinger 2.0, 6-4, and they scored the 2nd most points in the league while facing the 4th toughest schedule, just points away from the 3rd toughest schedule, and tied for facing the most 300-point games this year with 3 on top of it. You know, if Dingleberries keep putting up these kinds of points, that luck's going to turn around. I think the only reason he's 5-5 is because he's had a tougher than normal schedule as far as the league goes. Dan's team, while having the 3rd easiest schedule, he doesn't have to apologize because no team has been as offensively dominant as Dan's team. His dope-ass team and most points scored in the league, most 300-point games scored, fewest sub-200-point games in the league. Just consistent, 260.8 points a game consistent, 268 points a game consistent. That is going to win you a lot of games. And frankly, it's kind of reminiscent of what he was doing last year through the halfway point of the season. Dan was running away with it. So we'll see if he can hold on this year, see if he's got the staying power this year with this team to keep it going. Jose Canseco is the 3rd team that I mentioned, and that team is just stacked. If you look at it, man, it's a scary, scary team, and I felt that way from the draft on. Tim, my friend Tim Lagerman, call him a friend. We play in a football league together, and he's really good at baseball, and that team is stacked, remarkably consistent as well. Only one time this year they failed to hit the 200-point mark, and in Tim's case, that one time was 198 points. So he was right there. Can't get much more consistent than that. As for points scored against, you know, nothing's been handed to Canseco. They've had 0 weeks where the opponent scored fewer than 200 points, and only one time out of 10 weeks was their opponent amongst the bottom 3 scorers for that week. So those 3 teams have clearly proven themselves. And beyond those 3 teams, I think there's several teams that have been fortunate. And then there's some teams, including the dark horse, in my opinion, Adam Karras' testosterone, that haven't been as fortunate. And Brawny, he's had the most points scored against him. But the thing is that he's done it while enduring a whole bunch of debilitating injuries to his team. Injuries that, you know, he's 3-7, but he's also scored, let me click a button and get that number for you. 3-7, he's scored 7th most points in the league. Yeah, 7th most points in the league, just behind the 5th and 6th. So he's just, 6? He's 17 points away from being the 5th highest scoring team in the league. So he's right up there, and he has been all year long. But Brawny, he had all these points scored against him, and that's while losing Josh Donaldson, his first-round draft pick. Donaldson was out almost the entire year. He hasn't played until just recently. Noah Syndergaard was his second-round pick. Syndergaard, I'm not even sure if Syndergaard's going to play again this year. And then Cole Hamels goes out. That was his 5th-round pick. And Cole Hamels goes down with an injury, and he's gone for a big chunk of time. I don't know how the hell Braun is still standing, much less within shooting distance of being 5th in total points. That's pretty amazing, and I think he's a dark horse. If he gets some of these guys healthy, like Donaldson came back, and Donaldson is starting to hit, and you know now he's starting to look like the first-rounder that I think most people felt he was, you know, late 1st, early 2nd at least. And you can't control injuries. I think that's the deal. If testosterone gets rolling, they're going to be dangerous. And not only you can't control injuries, but you also can't control your luck. And I think clearly, no matter how hard you try, luck does play a role in this. And, I mean, just look at week 9. It's open knowledge that Jeff's team beat no longer a rookie, Ottinger 2.0, as I love to call him, TJ's team by just a hair under 7 points. It was like 6.87 points. So Carter faces TJ Ottinger. They go to battle. And in that game, Jeff wins the game by like 6.87 points. And what most people don't know is that the game would have gone different if not for the website change. I thought this was an interesting thing to throw out there for everybody. Because, you see, when we changed websites, we eliminated, I'm just checking to make sure we don't have any callers, because I'm sure there's a lot of callers that are lining up, and I don't want to miss them, so I'm just pausing to check for callers. back to Jeff and TJ's team. We changed websites because we wanted to go to the free site, and as a result, Yahoo's got this thing where they will only allow like 15 different categories, scoring categories on the hitting side and 15 categories on the pitching side. And as a result, we had to eliminate some scoring categories as part of the move. One of the categories we got rid of was for no hitters. And you used to get an additional 8 points for a no hitter. Edison Vasquez of the Kansas City Royals, believe it or not, threw a no hitter in the matchup against no longer a rookie. Carter beat Ottinger by 7 points. So no longer a rookie loses by 7 points, 6.87. So this is one that if TJ gets to the end of the year and loses out of the playoffs by one game, he can be spitting mad about that move to the Yahoo website, because if he gets that 8 points for the no-hitter back, he actually wins that game. That's luck. A lot of guys get edged out in close games. I personally can tell you about a game I was playing against Manchester United, Andy Wellman, and it drove me. I'm still burning by it. I'm still absolutely riled up about it. I went into like Sunday night. I was up like 50 points. I don't know, 40 points. And he's got, I don't know, 4 hitters. And I'm like, oh man, I got this. Like every single one of his guys would have to get 15 points for me. Well, son of a bitch, the guy had 4 of his guys on that last game had double headers that they played in both games of the double header. He ended up scoring something ridiculous, like 75 points or something like crazy like that. And he pulled ahead and he notched by me by like 4 points. And in the meantime, I had Miguel Cabrera went out for something, I think he like strained his oblique or something, I don't know, but he sat out like 3 games, the final 3 games of that set. So my guys are sitting out, he's getting doubleheaders, just the way that things happen, man. It was just luck that it happened that way. I think anybody would have put money on me holding on to that lead at the end of that Sunday night, but it was high scoring games. All of his guys on both sides of those doubleheaders scored a ton of points. He beats me by 4. Luck is definitely part of it. Another example of bad luck is Murphy. You've got good luck and you got bad luck. And I think it's important to point out a team like Murphy, every year the guy's been competitive. And, man, is he hitting the skids right now. He lost Mike Trout to injury. And to add insult to injury, he's faced the toughest schedule in the league. And I got to be honest, I don't know how Murphy climbs out of the hole he's in, because he's 4-6. And granted, he's only a game out of the playoffs, but Murphy's squad is barely scoring 220 points a game, and that's with his best player in the game. That 220 points a game, Trout just went out a week or two ago. And without Trout, I'm not sure where the silver lining is, because you don't replace a Mike Trout out of your lineup when a guy like that gets hurt. That's just debilitating. And, keep fighting, Murph. Keep fighting, because all you got to do is climb up to 9th to get some money, man. Climb up to 9th in total points to get some cash. And definitely everybody who's having a tough season, who your record's not what you want it to be, definitely keep fighting, because remember the reverse Wilder Bowl, the way that's set up is every week the teams that win are out. The teams that lose continue to play, because the winner of this backwards Wilder Bowl tournament, the bottom 2 teams that end up playing in the finals, each of those 2 teams end up paying extra money. I think the team that loses in the Wilder Bowl, they have to pay $60 extra into the pot, and I believe the team that wins in the Wilder Bowl has to pay $30 extra. And the only way you can get out of being in that game is to win when you hit that consolation tournament, to beat your opponent. So I don't want to see anybody sitting on the sidelines, mailing it in, not making moves, not setting your lineup. Don't do any of that crap. Don't do it. Moving on here. Trade's probably the only way that Murphy can get back into the game at this point, and it sucks because the season is not even half over. We're in our 11th week, but he's going to have to trade and take risks that pay off, because I don't know how else he climbs out of that hole. I mean, what would you do? I think I would ask a caller. If there was a caller right now, I would ask that caller, what would you do? So I'll just pause in case somebody's going to call in. I'll just pause for a minute. Okay, I guess the phone company is still tied up there, and the lines are still jacked. So I have to do something about that next time so that we can get some more calls in here. I'm sorry to all the audience. Sorry to all the callers that are trying to call in right now. Sorry about the issues with the phone company that are happening. And we're going to get that straightened away for our next episode, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there. And maybe, you know, maybe if you guys don't all call at once, maybe that would help too. You know, you can help. It's kind of like when a legislator's number gets handed out and everybody starts calling him because they're angry about something from the government, and overloads the call centers. I think that's what's happening to the lines here at Blog Talk Radio. I think it just can't handle the sheer volume of calls that are coming in. But before we wind up the show, which we are in the final steps of the show right now, I thought I would just talk a little bit about something that you know, I was going to include it. I was not going to include it, depending upon how much time we had in guests. But it's just something that I think makes the league a lot more fun, and I would encourage other teams to do this and to make it known that you're doing this. So let me know, and I can either talk about it in the podcast. The league wants to have some more podcasts. That was coming out of our off-season meeting, so I'm going to do my best to live up to that. It's been a hectic and busy couple of months so far, so this is our first episode of the season, but I am going to try to do some more. But one of the things that I'd like to be able to talk about and broadcast to everybody and really make it part of the league is just little for fun side bets. If you ever listen to the fantasy footballers, they call them water bets, but there's different ways of doing it. And one of the things that we do is we just, to make the game more fun, we just do these friendly little side wagers, and it can be more than little if you guys want to. And for me, it's just little stuff. I wish more people would do this, but Dream Team owner Matt Blankenberg and I play what we call the Sub Bowl, both in baseball and football, and it's a $5 sub card. The loser buys the winner a $5 sub card. Right now, Matt's a bastard, and Dream Team sucks because they keep kicking my ass in baseball. I get him back in football every now and then, but he just dominates the hell out of me in baseball, you bastard. I don't know how many subs I've fed you and your family at this point. But that's the Sub Bowl. We do that every time we play. Carter and I, we usually do lunch. We wager a lunch, and loser buys. This time we're doing wings at Olivia's. So I lost, of course. Of course I did. Of course. He has this awesome week when I'm playing him, you bastard, Jeff. Wellman and I bet a pitcher of beer this year. That's another one that pissed me off. That was that doubleheader come from behind I was telling you about. Man, I could taste the beer. No, I got to buy him a pitcher of beer. That's coming this Thursday. We're doing a happy hour. In fact, we're taking the show, Fat Guy on a Phone Road Show, going down to the Fat Cave at Rare, 833 building here in Michigan, Thursday, June 15th. Stop by for happy hour and meet the fat guy with a phone himself. How about that? Is the third part, the third party reference thing, is that totally over the top at this point or not? I'm just trying to do the show, man. Wellman and I bet a pitcher of beer, and I lost, so I owe him a pitcher of beer. But I did have the fun of playing Blinka. We bet a pizza. The loser has to deliver a pizza to the winner for lunch. And I bested Blinka. He was willing to pay up, but I offered him a double or nothing proposal. So he took me up on that. We're going double or nothing in the next match that we play. And either we're going to be even or he's going to be delivering two pizzas up here. Ottinger and I, Ottinger 1.0, the Dingleberries, we bet breakfast. So breakfast burrito, I managed to get the better of Annie Ottinger in that one. And he was a good man. He went down there and bought me a burrito and a cup of Joe. So that was really cool. And it just makes things so much more fun. Last year, Murphy and I bet a bobblehead. That was a, I don't know, maybe I can get Murphy to bet me a bobblehead this year since he's only scoring like 200 points a game. Probably not, but I'll ask him again. But I wish more guys would indulge in these little bets. They don't have to be expensive, but it does make the game more fun. It does lend to more trash talking. Speaking of trash talking, I want to remind everybody to call and leave your trash talk messages. I'm not going to put my work number out over the air here, but you guys know it. You call and you leave your trash talk message for your opponent, and I will play that live on the air. So don't tell me you don't have some choice things to say about some of the other guys you're playing in the league. So this week I'm facing off against no longer a rookie. Rookie, I'm going to beat you so bad, you're going to become a rookie again. You're going to cry like a rookie. You're going to be in the corner. You're probably going to need to call your mom or your dad to come and pick you up because you're going to be in pieces. Hopefully you don't look at your score at work. I don't want you getting fired. I don't need that crap on my conscience. All right, I'm going to beat your ass bad. I'm already up 53.5 to nothing, 53.5 to 1.5. You don't even have a full point. I don't know how you got out of bed this morning. This is ridiculous. I didn't even have a player play, and I got 53.5 points on the board right now. What do you say we bet? Something like that is what I'm looking for, guys. So, TJ, all in good fun, my friend. Happy to bet something if you want, but it's a lot easier to bet when you have like a 53-point lead. So I understand if we maybe catch it next time, I'll try to contact you with some kind of clever, maybe when I'm down in your area working out of our Madison office, I can we can bet lunch. So probably do that for our next matchup. But anyway, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. Until next time, swing away, Merrill. Merrill, swing away. This has been another episode of the Fat Guy with a Phone Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Let's end it the way we started it with our most famous caller, Rusty, from last year's podcast. Here's how it went.
Yeah. I'm real good. How you doing?
I'm excited that baseball's back. Woo!
So what's your name?
My name's Rusty.
Hey, Rusty. Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm a big Royals fan.
You're a big Royals fan. CBS has a guy who actually relocated from the Kansas City area. I don't know if he actually relocated, but he does a podcast on CBS. Great things. He's always talking about the Royals. You got our own. I'm in Milwaukee, Rusty, and you got the...
We got your coach.
Yeah, Ned Yost. That's still some of our players, too, from that Granke trade.
Yeah, we made out good on that one.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So how are you feeling about this season?
Oh, let's take me out to the ball game.
Hey, what about your Donnie
out
Ventura?
With the crowd.
What can you tell me about your Donnie Ventura? Should
buy
we bet
me
on him?
Some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Should fantasy guys bet on him or not?
I don't care if I ever get back. Sing along if you want.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to do the show instead, so...
Let me root
for the home team, my friend.
If they don't win,
it's
a shame.
Your home team or my home team? That's what I'm getting
at. The Royals, of course.
The Royals? Well, technically the Royals are the Brewers, too. Kind of
for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
Yes, you are, my friend. Take care.
At the old ball game.
Awesome. So, that was our friend Rusty. Very glad to have Rusty on the show. Rusty, I am going to say... I'm going to keep going with the show here as I was rolling. It was real nice to have you on, my friend. No idea who the hell that was. That was the craziest thing in the world. This is a public platform where anybody can...
Public platform. Woo! Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Take care.